This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Hold your carriage horses and tighten those corsets. Bridgerton is back. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Has Penelope truly pushed aside her feelings for Colin? Will Colin realize his feelings before another suitor takes Penelope's hand? And will Penelope's secret identity as famed gossip writer Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? This gentle reader can't wait to find out. Watch part one of Bridgerton now, only on Netflix. Hello and welcome back to a very special episode of the U Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is very special. As you can see from the title of this episode, it is our 500th episode.
I know.
Look at the crowd goes wild.
The crowd is going crazy.
We did it.
Wow. I cannot believe it. And it is, which coincides with our 6-year anniversary.
Right. It all kind of goes together because this is the time of the year that we started the show.
It is.
What a 500.
It's crazy. That's a long time. And it's been a while. I was thinking, like, I guess let's go back in time to starting this show. Right? Time machine. Yeah. Podcast studio time machine.
Yeah.
How old were you when we started this show?
So 6 years ago, I was 32.
Yes.
It's crazy. And I felt too old to do the show then.
I was 28. It's crazy.
28.
Yeah. Just a spring chicken.
Yeah. I remember you turning 30.
Yes.
I remember that was like a thing.
That was a funny episode.
Yes.
Because you said like only unmarried women celebrate their 30th birthday. Big. Yes. Which was accurate.
My opinion hasn't changed.
I was unmarried and unengaged at the time.
Oh, that's a big.
Yeah.
But you were with Mike.
I was with Mike. I was with Mike when we started the show. We had been dating about 4 months.
4 months in. But you weren't really talking about it. That wasn't like.
I guess not. Yeah.
It was too soon.
Right. It was early.
I don't blame you for not.
Yeah. One of our early dates was we went to go. A Comedy Cellar used to do like a brunch.
They still do. They're back in the brunch game. No, they took it away during the pandemic and then it came back recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember
you guys came. You sat on the right side.
That was like when I was like going to take the initiative of making an early date.
Right. You know? Whoa, this is crazy.
I know.
It's funny. Like you start this show, you're like, let's do a show. And it's, you know,
I remember calling you, like pitching you the show.
I remember. Had me come in.
What?
You were like, we got an idea.
Right.
And I came
in. I briefly mentioned it on the phone and then you came in.
Okay. Maybe. But I remember you guys had that old office.
Yeah.
Where it was the three-headed monster.
Yes. We said we wound up changing the like configuration because it looked like a tribunal.
It really
there was,
did
like, a
feel
seat in
like.
The middle. Three seats around. It's like Survivor.
Come into our office. It's like, uh-oh. Off with his head. And we all chit-chatted.
Mm-hmm. And we were trying to think of names.
Yeah. That was a big part of it. And then it came together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I think that's like because you guys, you know, the company you guys have, it's like, okay, we have the resources to like.
Well, the first podcast that I had ever done was your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was a guest on J Train.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a guest a couple times. And then I remember Eileen also was a guest on a later episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Eileen is like the brains behind everything. Right. And after we went on your show, she's like, we should make more shows.
Right.
Like, we should make shows. And so the whole Betches podcast arm really originated from your show.
I think you guys emailed me, and I always, the way I tell the story, I'm always mm-hmm. I connected you with some people that make podcasts.
Right. And that's how we started until we got our own office and had a studio inside. And I remember the studio inside was not quite as soundproof as this one in our old office. And so when we were recording, everyone outside would just hear you screaming like sexual things about the, you know, things we were talking about.
Right. I remember we'd come out and I didn't know that. So like the whole office would be like, hey.
How was your weekend?
Right. We know everything, you know. So, yeah, it's been amazing, right?
Yeah.
For me.
No, it's been amazing for me. I think this is like, you know, this is one of my favorite things that I do at Betches.
It's the best.
If not the best, if not my favorite.
This is, I appreciate hearing that. I remember when this show started, I had just done Montreal Just for Laughs. And Montreal Just for Laughs is like the biggest comedy.
Right, yeah.
Comedy, what do you call it?
Convention.
Convention. Festival.
Festival, sure.
In the world. It's known as like, and then you, there's a movie that was made about it. So there's this thing called New Faces.
Okay.
And New Faces is, these are the new faces of comedy. And the old tale is that if you get new faces, you're off to Hollywood. That's it. Like, right. And then everyone tells you, it's not the same as it used to be. People would walk out of here with $100,000 deals. And we don't do that anyway. Everyone, you know how things work.
Well,
it used to be better, bigger.
Right. Whatever. Well, it's probably when you were doing it was like when when the creator world, like the benefit of the democratization is that everyone can kind of like create their own thing and maybe doesn't need, like American Idol now, I feel like would be less relevant because everyone can just put up a YouTube video of them. Of themselves singing.
Absolutely. Why would you wait in line?
Less red tape.
Put it on the internet and let Father Algorithm pay you off. You're right. But even like, everything in comedy. Oh, it used to be. I don't like to subscribe to that.
They say that about every industry.
Everything. So I remember going and doing it and you do your 5 minutes. But there have been people that have been like signed, like, I would say from when I did Montreal Just for Laughs, like I remember, and so I'm in this New Faces group and my big thing was like, I'll wear a suit. I'll like look good. Like that was my big thing. I'll do the show and look good. And I remember—
Get them with my hotness.
Right. I'll make those chairs, make those women slip off their chairs. So So there's two shows you do as a new face. I'm sorry if I'm taking a long time on the story.
No, that's right.
But like new face, your group. So The Big Sick was made about this New Faces show. If you go see that movie.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Right. That's about that. Literally, it's about this exact thing.
I thought it was about the guy dating the girl who was like in a coma.
Right. And he's trying to get new faces during this whole, the side story. Oh, okay.
Was that the plot?
Yeah, some woman dies, but whatever. Yeah. No.
It gets in the way of his trying to get the.
Right. He's trying to get into this new faces thing. And so it's literally based off of like the idea. And I auditioned for years and years, never got it. Then I got it. And I remember I'm going to wear a suit. Like Taylor Tomlinson was also in my New Faces group. Mm-hmm. And like she did her set and like Netflix was like, get over here. You're going to Hollywood. Randy, it's a yes for me, dog. I went first on the show.
Okay.
And first is a tough spot to go in.
Yeah.
Fine. I go on stage. And
although better than last.
I'd rather first than last. I'd rather third than first.
Fair. Last is like everyone's over it.
Right. We did it. Mm-hmm. So I go on stage and I remember, and again, like, I don't like to like live in excuses, but like the guy hosting, he didn't do a great job.
Okay.
He, to the point
Tell
where-
Tell us his name.
he's not a big American act, but he was a huge Canadian act.
Okay.
Like had a big following there. And this is an American show. New faces, like American stand-ups are going to come and they're the new faces. And this guy was a Canadian act who was huge, but also didn't give a shit about the show. Mm-hmm. So he goes on stage and he like bombs, like to the point where like people in the audience were like, ugh. And then he goes, okay, our next act from Needham, Massachusetts, Jason Fried.
Just like the New York Times.
Right. Like totally Jason just, Fried. And he like didn't even like, it was such a bad butchering of my name, like where he goes, Jason Fry, I don't know. Here he is. Like it was like the worst intro of all time. And I come out and I got to like dig out of his hole.
On your list.
Oh, he's on the fucking list. Right. I have to like dig out of this hole that the audience didn't get really warmed up. I also, we kind of have the same vibe. Like he's like dude talking about dating. Mm-hmm. And then I come on looking like a dude who's going to talk about it. Just was not made for me to like,
right.
It wasn't a lob.
Okay.
I come out, I do the set. And I remember like, I was so upset. I was like, that ain't it. I ain't gonna sign shit from that. I was like, I ain't gonna get, come do SNL. Like this is where you make it. Okay. This is
so
where
you
people
discovered.
It ain't no one was remembering Jared for this. I remember literally walking off stage going, that wasn't it.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in the stairway, like, fuck.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? Right. This was supposed to be, you know, and you see, like, and the second show we did wasn't the show. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a secondary. They give you another shot. And I did really well on that. Okay. That was better. It was more fun for me. Didn't wear the suit. I felt like an idiot. And I was sitting in like this back stairway of this theater being like, fuck, what's going to be the thing? Like, right. If this ain't it. This was supposed to be the thing.
Your big break, yeah.
This was supposed to get me, you know, in the, you know, the, Comedy Central doesn't speak to me. Netflix doesn't speak to me at the time. You know, like this is all this. And then I remember like the next week you guys called.
Oh, wow.
Legit. And this started. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is what I do. You know, I talk about dating. You know, I'm with people I'm friendly with at the time. Yeah. You know, this will be easy, fun. And I always thought, like, the dating conversation I was having in other places, I was like, I'm just not getting in front of the right people.
Right.
And it was like, and then, like, we started the show.
The Betches demo.
Right. And like, J-Train podcast talking about dating. Like, what woman? And also, at the time, women weren't really listening to podcasts as much.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't. Yeah.
Right. It was sports. Really, and
was,
like,
yeah, you were there before anyone really was pod, before everyone and their mother had a podcast,
right? And especially like when, and then I think around the time the what's it called podcast Murder Mystery was women started to listen to. The first one was Serial.
Oh yeah, Serial was like what really made, I think, brought podcasts into the mainstream,
and Female World.
Oh yeah,
specifically, like I just remember, and then all these female creators started making their own and then I would be like, hey, we should have Jared on as a guest. You know, like I would be brought in. Oh, who's this douchebag? There was always like one woman who knew me and another woman who was like, oh, was he going to come on and talk about bullshit? You know, like right. Be an asshole. And then at the end, they'd be like, whoa, that was actually, you know. And but I remember this coincides with like really feeling like, fuck, I got nothing.
Yeah, and it's funny. I remember getting coffee with you like maybe a year or two before we even started. And you were like, doing this comedy thing, like, I don't know, feels like I'm a little, like, you're a little, like, frustrated with it, I think. And it's just been amazing to watch you, like, grow as a comedian and, like, to the point, you know, you have this special and you're doing the late night shows and it's been, like, it's just, because I do remember that meeting, like, so, right. And how far things can go. It's been really,
it's due
amazing.
To this partnership, this friendship, this show, and the audience here, and you guys, and Betches, and it's all goes together. So, like, you know, a 500th episode, like, I'm thankful.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
Like, right? Like,
and it's been 6 years. Crazy.
6 years. Yeah. What a journey. So,
and thank you to Candace who brought us Milk Bar. And, you know, obviously, thank you to the whole Betches team who really. It's not just about us speaking, it's about the production and the
absolutely.
And the outlines and the marketing. And so thank you to everyone who's, and for the listeners, people have been listening since the first episode.
Unbelievable. They know us better than we know ourselves, I think. But you know, to bring it back to the office here, like it always feels nice. Like it feels like people genuinely like enjoy the show. You know, they know about the show, you know, like sometimes we come out and, you know, when Jorge was on, people were watching as it's being filmed.
Yes.
You know, like, it's very cool to, you know, feel part of this and this, you know, the greater thing.
Well, because dating is like a little, I mean, I'm going to say it's fairly universal, just like the struggle of meeting someone that you want to be with for potentially the rest of your life is like there's not that many people who are exempt from some sort of dating dilemma.
Race, religion. Socioeconomic, you know,
love
whatever.
Love brings us all together.
It's all, there it is. What's more relatable than love? So we say this all to say thank you, to say share this show. We believe in the product. The product is us. It's very personal.
Put our heart and souls into this show. And, you know, when we get the feedback from you guys that you love an episode or you love the show or you felt less alone or you felt like it made dating a little more digestible, that's, I think, the best thing we could ever hear. And if you guys want to be a benefit subscriber, we have a special sale going on in honor of our 500th episode. Go to subscribe.betches.com and you can get the year-long subscription. If you subscribe year-long, you'll get a discount. It's going to be $34.99. Go to subscribe.betches.com. Summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I'm wearing a Quince sweater literally right now. They make the best cashmere sweaters and they're so well priced. It's like, honestly, my dream store. I also have an amazing down comforter from them. They cut out the middleman and they really just give you these really, really high quality items that last a long time and that they're at an amazing price point. Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP. You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming up, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. Honestly, I love pretty much everything Skims makes, but I really love their t-shirts. They're like form-fitting, and they make my body just look that much smoother. I have the soft-smoothing seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It has amazing versatility. It is literally a must-have for a spring wardrobe. They're stretchy, they're flattering. You can dress it up or dress it down, and you don't have to worry about compromising style or comfort. I also have the cotton jersey t-shirt in marble, and it's really just changed the game for me. It's taking the regular t-shirt, it's leveling it up. There's no stretched collars or hems, and it literally fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select you up in the drop-down menu that follows. If you're like me and shudder at the thought of low-rise jeans and pluck-thin eyebrows making a comeback, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. I have to tell you, I'm a huge Clarins fan. I've been using them for years. I love, love, love them. They are such high quality. They're like a legacy brand. My skin always looks better whenever I'm using Clarins products. And it's no different with the Clarins Multi-Active Cream. You've been adulting for a while, so the daily stress of just trying to keep your life together can cause stress aging. Yes, that's a thing. The good news, Europe's number one skincare line has a solution you can trust. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bio extract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Go to clarins.com/UUP and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/UUP with promo code UUP, clarins.com/UUP with promo code UUP. And let's get into our little trivia.
Let's do it.
Hi.
Okay. Candace, thank you for the milk bar.
Yes.
You've done a fantastic job.
And for being a great producer, yeah, along with Jorge.
Great work.
I was also craving it, so if you didn't want it, I stole it.
Those red velvets. They hit me.
All right. So you guys talked about this last year, so I want to see if you remember. What date is the UUP anniversary? Jared, I'd like you to answer first.
I think it's November 16th.
Jordana?
I think it's November 17th.
We're going off of the episode release date. It is November 15th.
Oh, whoa.
Wow, you were closer.
I knew
I'm impressed.
It was mid-November.
Yeah, same. I was going to say a little later in the month, actually. Impressed.
Yeah.
November 15th.
You guys might have said that you recorded around like November 6th or 7th, though.
I just remember the talk. Yeah. I just remember like a very like relevant dating talk for a podcast is holiday time. It is a very tense time. It's the time you're getting asked about it. Mm-hmm. You can ignore your relationship status in the summer. You can have a fun summer and forget it even exists. You never forget relationships exist around
the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And November 16th is like, we're heading into it. And if you're out there, like, it's the same thing, like, body, weight, relationships. You're like, fuck, how do I look? And who am I seeing?
You got to evaluate. Also, it's like close to the new year. And then that's another big mm-hmm. like reflection time for that.
Yeah. So I can understand. Yeah.
All right. Now, who was the first guest?
I have no idea. I honestly, like, I'm trying to think maybe a comedian.
Yeah.
Because it was like an easy call.
Was it Whitney Cummings?
It was Whitney Cummings.
Oh, wow.
Come on. I wasn't there.
You weren't there. I think that's the only episode I've ever done without you.
Right.
Because I remember calling you. I was like, Whitney Cummings is free on this day. Like, and you were like, I got a show, but like, you should take it.
Right.
So that was I think that's the only U Up interview I've ever done by myself.
That's the only reason I remember it.
After that, you were like, never missing another one.
No. The Wally pipped.
Yeah. I have to say, we've never missed a week.
No. Well, that's something I take a lot of pride in. Same. For this show. Like, the whole best of episode, what a garbage thing to do to your fans. I just think it's like, I'm a podcast listener big time. What shows do you listen to, Jordan? I don't even think I've
listen
ever asked
to
you.
A lot of true crime. Obviously, I listen to the Betches slate of podcasts. I also listen to Red Handed. Is my favorite true crime podcast. It's like two British women. They're really funny.
Okay.
Doing like true crime murder stuff. It's great.
That's great. I mean, but when they take time off, do you get like annoyed? I just go like, right. How the fuck do I have nothing?
Right. Like, they're like, oh, we've been busy this week. Like, fuck you.
Right. Like, we know how long that day. Just split up one into two.
No, in the words of Kim Kardashian, no one wants to work.
Right.
Anymore.
But this is the thing. Like, to me, I'm like, yeah, we'll do two this week so that we're ahead. Like,
yeah. No, we've.
It doesn't seem like the hardest thing in the world. I don't know. I don't take a lot of like, it does take up time. Don't get me wrong.
Hardest working people in America.
That's right. That's why you should share this fucking show.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Whitney, I had a feeling it was Whitney. Wow.
All right.
Back to Valentine's Day for that episode, 2018.
Oh, yeah. She was promoting some movie that she
made. I remember that's what it was on the press tour.
So who was your most memorable guest?
Oh, there's only one that I remember.
I have a list of everybody. So just
there's only one that like I'll never forget.
Like bad?
Yeah, Nancy Jo Sales. Yeah.
She was definitely the worst guest.
That was the most
horrific.
That was
like awkward.
That was awkward. You can go back and listen to it. I was totally cut out at the knees. I didn't know she had this like, there's a reality TV show you probably know about that like referenced her once.
Yeah, she did a lot of like dating app stuff. Oh, there was.
What happened that
Nancy,
her name?
What is her name? Not Nancy. Alexis Nyers from The Bling Ring. There's like a meme with her where she's like screaming at Nancy Jo for writing something mean, like that she claims
pretty
is untrue.
Pretty Wild on Eve. I loved that show.
So I have no relevance. Right. People in this, there's sometimes things that happen at Betches. I'm like, I have no.
It's a little too intensely pop culture for you.
It
right?
was so yeah. inside. Yeah. And I had no reference for her as a person, writer. And I'm sure she's fantastic at her job. I don't think it felt deeply. She wasn't up for the fun of this show.
No, I don't. I think she didn't get it.
Right. And and there's a way. Listen, I understand. Like, things she brought up, I'm like, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but like, again, like, I guess we don't come at dating from that angle. If you're coming at dating from the angle of like, these are corporations trying to take your money, go fuck yourself.
Right. That's not where we're at.
No, yeah. we're in the land of, I think this podcast lives in the land of like, dating things happen. Here's an umbrella to make sure you don't get wet when they happen.
Right.
And yeah. I don't think she
we're
even
having a
wanted...
little more fun.
Right. And she and also I remember that episode specifically because I took a lot of like happiness in I think I was the most I was thoroughly impressed by your strength.
Ditto.
Like, like because
I think we were both in that episode like, okay, how do we wrap this?
Right. But you were like there to have the conversation with her like I couldn't have. I it was as if like in like you and I were there to like have to spar with this person. And then she just like Nancy Jo just like turned to me, stabbed me in the heart. Was like, got rid of that bitch, and then was there to like go with you. And you were fully equipped to have the conversation that I couldn't have.
I know it's funny. I don't remember it that way, it's possible. And I just didn't realize it, but that was a contentious episode. That was the most uncomfortable episode we had. Obviously memorable, like Rebel Wilson was like surreal.
The whole thing with her.
That was amazing. I mean, to hear that someone like her like subscribes to our podcast.
Hi Rebel.
Most memorable, like in a positive way for me, I think that was, that was really great. It felt like,
yeah,
really,
it was a win. Like, to, you know, you hit the mainstream, so to speak.
Exactly. We got Sebastian Stan on here. That was cool.
Yeah. Crazy who won't come on this show.
But Nick Viall?
Of the names, yeah. Who's the woman you like?
Esther Perel.
What's the deal?
I don't know. If you're listening, I've been trying to get her on for years.
This is Jordana's dream.
I don't understand. Please come on.
I don't know. It becomes a little personally offensive.
It does a little bit, right? When you see someone on like other shows. She's the most incredible. I know she would never do this to personally offend me. She's like the coolest person.
Maybe it's me. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't understand why anyone would not come on the show.
Agreed.
That is in the dating space.
Yeah.
Like,
and relationship, all that.
Yeah. I gotta assume, I don't know. It does become personal.
Maybe it's someone on the team that doesn't like me.
There's gotta be, I don't know what the fuck it is.
If you're listening or you know someone who knows someone who knows.
Open invite.
Yeah,
open invite. We have an open invite to all these people.
Please come on.
This is Jordana's dream. That is one. Who's your dream? I would love to have Derek Jeter.
Really?
This is the...
No, I mean, sorry, so would I. So would I.
I'm here trying to make your dream happen.
No, so would I. Derek, please come on.
Well...
Why Derek Jeter?
Specifically because his dating life... Not Tom Brady. His dating life doesn't really interest me. Derek Jeter was known as the gift bag guy for women that he would sleep with, date in New York City.
I thought that was A-Rod.
No. Derek Jeter was like the date. He was a bachelor in New York City as the...
He was like big in the like Carrie Bradshaw age, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, like I don't think he would answer any questions because he's been famously like really...
Quiet.
Famously like known as a bachelor, known as a dater, known as a New York City guy, also known as we don't know much.
Right.
So I just think it would be the most interesting dating conversation to hear how he dated, how he got fixed up, how he would, like, I guess, like, how did he negotiate this huge fame where no one seems to have anything to say? Like, right. So what happened?
He's kind of quieter now. Like, I haven't heard much about him in a while.
He's married with kids. Like, he moved to Florida. Like, he's, like, in this commercial for Jeep Wagoneer where, like, strangely he drives home from New York or some shit. I don't know. It's, in a Jeep. Like, it's a weird commercial. I don't know. He's just someone that I would, like, be like, what? I want to know.
Right. All right, well, if you're listening and you have any pull
Derek
in that
Jeter
world,
connects.
Get us...
Yeah.
I'm very excited at the prospect as well.
No, listen, I know this about Jordana. She wants Esther Perel on the show.
Yes.
And, you know, listen, you have to speak it.
I'm going to manifest it. Right. I'm going to go home and do some crystal work.
rub it for me.
Yeah. And
throw in some Jeter rub on there.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in both of those. Okay. I think I'm manifesting both of these guests for 2024 for us.
Love it. Love it.
All right. Can you guys name a guest from every year of the pod?
Okay, well, we got Whitney Cummings, year one. Was she before the end of 2017?
Well, we're going to 2018 because Whitney Cummings was, start of 2018. So 2018.
So five guests.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rebel Wilson.
That was, she was on two different years, but the most recent one was this year.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie Chang.
He was the same. Yeah, he was right around the Nancy Joe one. When was that? 2018?
Yeah. So, well, Ronnie was actually 2019. Nancy Joe was 2018. So.
Oh. Okay, well, we just knocked two out.
Whitney Cummings counted for 2018 already, so.
Okay.
Okay.
2020, 2021. Do you remember anything during the pandemic?
2020.
Let me just say,
I think the way we handled the pandemic was fantastic.
Yes.
Let me just say, we're a dating podcast. We said we're going to, like, admit to the reality. I give us a lot of credit.
We did a virtual live show, too.
virtual live show. We did things that help people put their brand on the shelf. And some of you may have navigated the dating world in a pandemic with that us in mind.
It was a weird time to be dating.
Yes. Yeah. So I give us a lot of credit. I don't know who we had as a guest, though.
In 2020, two virtual guests.
Did we do a virtual
guest? Oh, we did. You know, we had Sam Morril his first time on with Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah. They were a pandemic couple.
Yeah. That was 2020, yes. Right?
It was 2020. That's a
good one. We also had Nicole Byer on in 2020, I believe.
Yes. And we also had, I'm trying to think, 2021.
Jordana named a guest from 2021.
Sebastian Stan?
In the Wednesday episode.
No.
In the Wednesday episode.
So oh, just, Logan Urie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Logan Urie, Sebastian people
Stan
loved
was
her.
2022.
Sorry?
Sebastian Stan was 2022, but yeah.
There we go.
Okay, all right. Look at us.
There we go.
We did it.
All right, hopping over to the next one. What is the episode that you guys get DM'd about the most?
Probably my breakup.
Okay.
That's probably the one if I was to put on a graph.
Of like the most.
I've ever gotten.
Right. Well, that's like the most personal.
Right.
Probably one that you got. And anyone who's going, the thing is anyone who's going through a breakup, I think wants breakup content.
Right.
You should do more breakup episodes, not like if you like breakups generally. Like
I'm still, healing from that one.
No, I think that one people, anyone who's going through a breakup, you don't hear many breakup stories of the person who does the breaking up.
And from men.
And from men, yeah.
You don't hear it from men.
So,
every man turns into a political candidate the minute they're breaking up with someone. They're very, especially not divorced men. I'm not talking about divorced men get angry. And and lose it.
Right.
I think when you talk about
Joe Jonas, if you want to come on, sorry,
we'll open invite. I think when it comes to especially considering the audience where we're a lot of the audience is dealing with that 3 month in. What is this? What's going on? Yeah. Why did it end? I think that was a very big look behind the curtain of, and again. Even in that episode, I think I was how many people did I send it to here to make sure that I was
that it was good,
professional and okay and not speaking for anyone else. I hope I was thoughtful in that whole process. But now I'm being a straight dude talking very politically. So this is how we get.
You were very thoughtful in that episode, and I know that because we avoided doing it for a bit until we, you wanted to do it right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's the hard part. We talk about this, when you're going through dating while doing a dating podcast, you're like, that's the hard part.
Right.
Is I got to say some things that anyone can listen to. Including my parents. I've told how many podcasts have I got? I get a call from my mom. What are you saying about me? She gets
And you're like, I didn't know you listened.
Right. I walked into the house once. My dad's like, you got it all wrong.
Yeah. You have a few of those. It's funny. In the beginning, you don't think about who listens to what you say. And then I think the longer you do it, the more that's in the back of your head. Or you know how to navigate that a little easier.
Right. And I don't know if that makes for a worse podcast. Or maybe it's a better one. I don't know.
Depends, I guess. It's more respectful one.
That's why you got to sign up for the benefits.
$34.99.
Yeah.
For the whole year. The whole year.
Whole year.
Mine is my situationship episode. I actually remember when it aired because I get asked how to find it all the time. Which was
2019
January. It was either the last week in 2019 or the first week in 2020. It's right around the holidays because it was right after our
Vancouver
episode. And that was an episode. It's funny because I had dealt with that for so long, but it took me a while into doing this podcast to really talk about it.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Because I think there's a fear of when you put these things out there, you're like, when's that email coming?
Right.
And you want to say it right. You want to be prepared to say it right. And you also want to say it without anger.
A little distance from it. So that you can feel like you're doing it in a way that's respectful, but also, accurate, but also gives you the real, the pain behind a lot of the stuff that we talk about also gives you that. I think that's just, that to me is like the most requested episode or the most DM'd episode I get, because it's so relatable, I think, to like be in something that you don't know how to get out of, that is like a little bit of an addiction.
Right.
I've come to like a dating addiction, I think.
I remember that. I mean, I got DM'd about that episode too. That's probably more, you know, on the graph, I'd put that probably more than my breakup one, but like that, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people relate to that so fucking much.
Yeah, and that was, I think that was just like, it's one of those ones I was also scared to talk about it, but after, it's always the ones you're the most scared to talk about that people appreciate the most.
It's the most honest, yeah.
What was the funniest episode?
Oh, I know.
I have one.
I have one that I probably should go back and listen to.
Okay.
Because I think it's the next hour of my stand-up.
Oh, yeah?
Not the one I'm doing on the road now, but I've started to talk about a little bit about going to Fran.
It's funny. That was like mine also. The funniest episode, I think the episode I've left, maybe the hardest of any time in my life, was when you got back from like your terrible trip to the south of France that you took alone, that you had like the worst time in. And it was just the funniest episode I think we've ever done. I don't even remember why it was so funny. I don't even remember like what we were saying, but I just remember like laughing uncontrollably that entire episode.
I remember that too. And I felt like such a loser.
It's funny that we're on the same page. Same I mean, it's not page. Funny, but like it makes sense.
No. Yeah. And I think I was like still jet lagged.
Okay.
There was still I was like exhausted.
You're talking even about smoking being cool. I remember that. Yeah, that's very funny.
It was very funny. Yeah, I got, that's definitely a memorable. And also like, I was just such a loser. I think that was part of it.
I thought it was like relatable, hysterical, just like the way, I think we were like, you know, you were so like over it that you was just so honest.
Right. No, because also it's this like juxtaposition between, you just spent like a chunk of dough. Like I didn't go to like a I didn't do backpacking in Europe. Like I went and like made a big trip.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and people were following on my stories too, I think. So like it was like the stories behind the stories too for a lot of people.
And then you went like dark for a little bit.
I went off of social media. Yeah. I hadn't done that in years.
Most concerning thing. People were worried about me. I was worried. I was like, has he been kidnapped?
Right. Got taken.
Yeah.
I started for some reason the other night, I was tired of whatever material I was doing. I started talking about like, so I went to Europe alone and it did okay. But like, you could tell, like, I'm like, oh, there's a bigger story here.
Oh yeah.
Like of just being single abroad is just like, for a straight dude, don't fucking do it. Like if you're looking to get laid.
Don't do it. You heard it here first. Listen to that episode. Do we know the date of that episode?
Yeah, what was that?
It was August. I believe it was sometime in August 2022.
Yeah, and I had it with dating too at that point. I think I was on like
it was
a low
like
with
dating, career.
Yeah,
like,
career. Yeah. That yeah, we did. I hadn't taped a special yet.
Yeah. That was but then you taped the special a few months later.
Look at how
things
changed from that episode
to where we are now. So happy as clams.
Right.
I'll make sure to put all the titles for all of these episodes on the Instagram story too in this episode.
Great. I got so many messages from that one. That's
that was
another one.
Such a funny episode.
We must have had good emails too. I don't even remember what we talked about. Just I remember having either. Had it.
Yeah. I just remember it being like so funny. I don't know. And you know, I'm not even like I think a lot of things are funny, but I don't laugh like out loud all the time. I'm sure you know this about me. But that episode I was like uncontrollable laughter.
All right. So this one might double as what was your funniest episode, but are there any episodes that still stick with you or that you've told friends about?
I think sort of the
I don't tell my friends about anything I do here. No.
he doesn't have any friends.
I have no friends. Yeah, I'm a man in my late 30s. We have no friends. Have you? I usually tell people to go.
Oh, the Julia episode. People.
Oh, that for sure. Yeah. That I've told people to listen to.
Sam.
That's like. Yeah,
that was a good for me episode of like it was personal, but it was not personal.
Right. That's a fun place to be. Right. Yeah. You got
just the right amount of distance.
Right.
For me.
We were talking, some people want an update on Julia. Julia is dating someone.
Julia is happily in a relationship.
I've never seen someone as happy as her in my entire life. She beaming.
It's annoying, right? No, yeah. it's great. I'm so happy for her.
Right. I'm happy for her too. We're happy that, you know, we can take credit for that. We got her off.
Exactly.
You know, off of the, you know, just like my fra.
Well, that was like another, again, I think these are what that is in common with my most popular episode is they're both kind of like situationship type episodes of like the what our podcast does best, which is right. Like, this is this gray area of dating where it's like the guy, usually we're talking about the guy doesn't hate you, but he's also not giving you what you want. Mm-hmm. And like how to navigate that. And that was the biggest issue for me when dating.
Yeah. No, I and also being that guy. Like I'm that guy. Yeah. So like
we all had a,
no one can, there. You could, and I think like to hear the hems and haws in my voice when I have to explain that position.
Right.
It personalizes it for people listening. I think it gives people like totally. a, it's less evil. It's less like.
It undemonizes the man.
That's right.
Nothing gives me naked confidence like really nailing a tough workout. There's a real sense of power that comes from pushing your body to its limits and conquering it like a champ. But a very close second, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. It's the game-changing whole body deodorant for those who love feeling confident from head to toe. And UUP listeners can now receive a special offer. New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code UUP at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. Making sure that I smell good is like one of my top things to feel confident. If I'm scared that I might be like having an odor, that is going to totally throw off my confidence. So I love Lumi so I can feel confident that I'm smelling fresh every day. Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Yes, anywhere. It's baking soda free, paraben free, and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. More like a pre-odorant. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Choose from a variety of bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code UUP for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code UUP at LumiDeodorant.com. You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. They also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable and yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider Jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And you always have the option to buy what you love, for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code UUP20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code UUP20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code UUP20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Okay, so we're going to play a fun game called Red Flag Aversary. We're going to go back to some three different red flag deal breakers from over the years, and we're going to like rehash them.
Think about what we said.
Right. This is from an episode called Why Does My Boyfriend Rarely Seek Out Sex? It's from 2017, and it also happens to be our first ever episode, first ever red flag or deal breaker question. Well, so we've been playing Red Flag Deal Breaker since episode one.
The OGs. That's why we invented dating.
Right. Right. And also, it does feel like a lot of things have been hacked from this show. I think, you know, TikTok owes us some royalties. But Jorge, play the clip.
All right, let's play a game. Let's play our very first edition of You Ups game.
Can you press pause? How about Jorge's got to feel a little pride right now hearing the sound on this episode one.
So much better now.
Horrific.
Yeah.
I feel like we're doing it in an airplane.
It's like old black and white TV shows.
Right. All right, go ahead.
All right, let's play a game. Let's play our very first edition of You Ups game. It's called Red Flag or Deal Breaker.
Red Flag or Deal Breaker. Right.
I'm going to read some scenarios and we can decide if they are red flags or just or complete deal breakers. They call their mom and dad every night before they go to bed, even when they're with you.
Okay, so was this a red flag or deal breaker for you?
I said it was a deal breaker, and I bet the story I told was about my college boyfriend being really obsessed with his mom.
And I bet it was a red flag for me.
Okay.
I think I was okay with it.
I think it would still be that, but let's hear it. Yeah.
It'd still be that for me.
Here's why it's a good thing. Green flag.
I agree it's a good thing, but not every time.
I want anyone I date to have other relationships that aren't with me.
Their mom and their dad? Absolutely.
That means free time.
I'd still say that. Yeah. I'd still love it. Get out of here. I can go to my mom's phone, house. Go hang out with mom. Love it.
Night. Different levels of red. I had an ex who we all from college. We all knew had a
was very close
with his mom. He used to like sit on her lap. They went away.
Hold on.
For spring break.
Sit on her lap
and post it on Facebook.
Yeah,
she would post it on Facebook.
How heavy was he?
The sister. What?
He was like.
Was he how skinny
size.
Was he?
He was normal. Thinner, size.
He was kind of like you. Just
very, I'm not very sitting 15. On my mom's lap.
Right. Well, okay. Not the mom herself was strange. She like
it was a really weird family dynamic. It was like a very strange thing. But he would like. Call her all the time. He told me he was like the number one woman in his life.
He went on spring
and
break with her.
His mom actually told me that they were like in love. It was weird.
It's funny. I feel bad for airing that story now that I'm hearing it. I don't remember airing that story. And now I feel bad in case he's ever listened
really?
To this. Because now it seems kind of mean, right?
It does. It doesn't seem mean to me.
I don't know.
I'll defend you. But I
feel like that 28-year-old me didn't think it was as mean as the 34-year-old me.
Right. I understand that because there's a little bit of like... That's very specific.
Talking shit, yeah. Like everyone who like knows me or knows that right. thing, I think knows who I'm talking about.
And yeah, and we just know how easy.
Now you're repeating it now.
I guess 34-year-old you doesn't matter. Doesn't
I guess not.
Mean anything.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I believe me, listen to myself and I'll go,
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were saying about like, you know, navigating how you speak on the show and what you're saying and how you're saying it and maybe how discreet you are. So I think that's a lesson I've learned in time.
Right.
So I guess as my opinion on the topic hasn't really changed, but the story I would tell would maybe be a little more anonymous.
A little different. Let's do another one from 2019.
Yeah.
This is from November 2019, episode called How Often Do I Need to Text My Significant Other While I'm Away? So let's hear it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I thought that was
unscrews the lid off the Parmesan at a restaurant and pinches the amount he wants with his fingers instead of using it like a shaker.
Okay.
What did you answer? Red flag or deal breaker?
I think I'd say deal breaker because it'd be like embarrassing or unhygienic.
I can't remember what I would have said. I mean, I'm trying to think of it. I think it's like a good idea.
Oh, but then it says that there's a multiple choice around this.
Let's play.
I love this one. What do you think? I mean, this guy is like, it's a morning pizza pie. Can you imagine?
It's a...
I don't like it. The shaker gets move. In the way. Let me my fingers in up. That.
I think it'd probably be a red flag.
Red flag.
Okay. Yeah. And why? Because then this goes into the multiple choice.
Jordana proceeds to use an adjective to describe this behavior. Which of the following adjectives did she use? Okay. One, A, endearing. B, deranged. C, trainable.
I think at this point, you know me. What do trainable. You think? Trainable.
Yeah, you I were think, like, I can get this out of
I it. Think I trainable, too.
Right. There's no question.
Right. I think this is trainable.
There we go.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, like, it's not like a...
What if a girl did this?
I would look at her and go, what the fuck are you doing? She's like what's the...
You're using your hands? It's a shaker.
It's a shaker that you can shake.
It's like, no, I like it dispersed how I like it dispersed.
Yeah, the shaker gets away from you sometimes.
Right.
I need the extra control.
Yeah.
Well, to me, if that's the answer, I'm like, ugh, she's going to be fucking tough to deal with.
This is trainable. I would bring around a pocket Purell, and every time he was going for it, I'd just be like, give me your hands. Runner.
On the wow. Purell.
Look at that. Yeah, you were ahead of things.
It's funny. I remember before the pandemic, we did a red flag or deal breaker about a guy who like Purells his hands before he gets on the subway. And I said it was a deal breaker because he was like a loser. And then the pandemic happened. And everyone was like, remember when you said that sanitizing your hands was like lame?
You're anti-vax! What's the next one? We're doing one more. And it's from 2021?
Let's do a 2020 or because we just did that one. I think it'll ruin it.
Right. 2020. Just to know, November 2020. This is...
Just reintroduce 2020.
Okay, let's do one more. Let's do one more from 2020. Like, the year.
The Woo-hoo. Year.
You know...
the Purell year. The year of Purell.
Right. This is from a November 2020 episode called Where's the Line Between Being Shady and Wanting Privacy? Okay, so play the clip.
Met this dentist on Hinge and he asked me out on a date. So I was like, all right, let's do this. Overall, not a bad date. We both have one entree and two drinks, and then the waitress drops the check. So he turns to me and he goes,
So like I'll pay 2/3 and you pay 1/3. Is that cool?
What? Don't you just want to split? And he goes,
No. Like I want for you and you can pay 1/3.
I'm like, okay, sure, we can do that if you want. The waitress comes, picks up both of our cards. She asks if we want to split for the third time.
I'm gonna pay 2/3 and she'll pay 1/3. Yeah, that's...
That waitress looked at him like he was such an idiot. Is this like a power play or something?
So, Jordana, what do you think? Is it a power play? Is it a red flag deal breaker? What do you think?
So we have another multiple choice question. Did Jordana say he was trying to close the wage gap, 2/3 of a feminist, 1/3 away from a deal breaker?
I guess all three.
I think, well, the feminist one speaks to me.
Yeah.
Feels like a...
Oh, yeah, that sounds like something you would say.
Something.
Yeah.
Let's go to the clip.
Let's hear it.
I feel like it's a very failed attempt at showing, like, a sort of sense of like feminism or equality in thoughts, because to me, unless it's really about the money, the 2/3 thing I think is more offensive than splitting. I kind of agree with like her notion there.
Yeah, it's like this power play. It is a power play. It feels like that. I could understand how it felt that way.
Right. To me, it's kind of like he's saying, I'm like 2/3 of a feminist. I'm not like completely a feminist. Like, I don't think that like we should split it. I'd still like to pay for more, but I'll allow you to pay for a third because, like, women's rights.
Yeah.
I respect you.
This is...
I mean, it's as if he was like, listen, I want to cover that extra 23 cents that men make more than women. Like, you know, like I...
You don't make double, so I'm not going to pay for it all. But...
Sure.
What do you think of this one?
This is 2020. This is November 2020. I was going to say, did I have a lisp there? Like, was this after I got my braces? I forgot about that.
Yes.
That was a funny episode.
That was a funny episode. That. And then the messages you got afterwards.
Oh, my God. I got the meanest. We got the meanest reviews.
About the lisp.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Someone wrote, it was inspired creativity. Someone wrote a really negative, mean review with a lisp.
in the review.
I am so you have like you put yourself through hell reading these reviews. You've read every review.
I've read every review that anyone's ever written. But I think yeah. So from this one, I guess you said 2/3 of a feminist.
Yes,
and I said trying to close the wage gap, or you said that
opposite.
Said that. Yeah.
Okay. So what is an old segment you guys would love to bring back?
Have we stopped doing any segments?
I feel like we've had the same segments for a bit.
I know. We really stopped being creative here.
SOS, we did a bunch of those. Those were fun.
I love the SOS. I think it would be better, I think, if they were in studio. I think if they were like part of the Betches universe, we had Julia.
Those were great. And Jazz, that was great.
Jazz,
recently.
I think that would be fun for this show.
Yeah, let's get more Betches staff in here. If you want to work at Betches, you too could be on this show except with us exploiting your dating life.
Right. Is there anything else you would want to bring back? I don't know.
I don't think so. We do it pretty well. Right. If it's really good, we keep it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and then in the You Up drinking game that Maddie made, what is something that either of you need to do for a listener to take a drink? Jared, do you know what Jordana needs to do? And Jordana, do you know something that Jared needs to do?
I do. Ooh. I'll go first. Jared says something about Fraw.
Is that in there? Or was it before that?
It might have been before.
Oh, wow. You sure?
Yeah, that's not in here.
Oh, wow.
That's actually shocking.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
What would I...
I know mine, because after that drinking game, I was like so self-conscious.
What, saying like?
No, but now I am.
Well, that was because you guys were so self-conscious about the like.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
You and all, Sammy
like,
and Aileen.
Don't say
yeah.
like. You know, I've embraced the like. It's not going anywhere.
It's what it is. It's
part of who I am.
What was mine? I forgot we had a drinking game.
Mine, it was on the Instagram.
Yeah,
on the Instagram. That's
I think
I didn't warn you about this.
Mine was
I didn't want anybody to cheat.
Was mine talking about Long Beach?
Yeah.
Taking over and destroying Long Beach.
Was mine talking about finger in the butt?
No.
Whoa!
It's more embarrassing the ones we don't get.
Yeah, right. This is bad. What was mine?
Well, I mean, you can make that work. Jared says something gross is kind of hot.
Fair. Totes preach.
Jared abbreviates a word.
Okay.
Totes brief everything on perp, bro.
Love it.
Jordana talks about being a disgusting.
Yes.
Jared sings.
Fa la 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 la. La
la. It's almost holiday season.
We're almost there.
The Christmas spectacular.
It's time for Jared to sing.
It's the You Up musical. All right, let's do one more question.
Yeah.
And then what have you guys learned from doing this show?
Ooh.
I wish that this show existed when I was dating.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have been a much better dater.
Yeah, things would have moved quicker or like more efficiently, I think, for people if you really listen to what we're talking about.
Yeah. I think like, you know, I've learned so much from you about the way that men think.
Uh-huh.
I
hope I'm giving a proper
No, I think you are. And I think that it's been, you know what I mean? It's depersonalized a lot of dating experiences that I've had in the past. And it's gotten me in the mind of a lot of people that I dated. And I think setting your standard has been a really empowering message that, you know, you've been saying really this whole time and dating like you're the CEO. That was also a good phrase that you had. And I think that if I had gone into dating like that, I would have ended a lot of things earlier.
Right. Well, listen, I've seen a few listeners do TikToks using that line without tagging this podcast and either of us. But I think mine's like actually the opposite. Like realizing how serious and like they're really, you know, and this is the thing that, you know, We don't go viral a lot. I think people love this show, but like the idea, when you see a viral clip of a dating conversation, it's always like this thing about like, this is why women are single. Like from the guy's end, you see a lot of that that's politicized. And to me, it was never that. And I'm not trying to make myself sound like some sort of hero, but like I do understand like there are people out there. I think what I've learned is made it more personal.
Okay.
You know, well, like, yeah, that's the other side of it.
Right.
Because to me, it's always dating's fun. This is hilarious, fun dating talk. And then this podcast, you hearing stories and just how it's taken from the other side, you go, oh, there could be people. There's people out there who are like killing it and everything. Have great friends. Have a fun time. Have a fun life. And they can't figure this thing out.
Right.
It's the hardest thing in their life. And I think when I first started doing this, you don't, again, the voice in the back of your head, that voice never sat there of like someone who's like listening with tears streaming down their cheek. Right. You know, because what we find out is that people receive our podcast as kind of a, what I've, you've heard this too, is like the get well gift in the gift bag after a breakup.
Yeah.
So friends say, like, so many people were like, it was a breakup. A friend was like, you got to listen to this podcast. It can help you. It makes it fun. It also, like, gets you inside the mind of, you know, an honest conversation. So, like, I think now in the back of my head is always, like, who's the person that really doesn't think this is fun? Right. You know? And I never had that before. Because in the beginning it was just like, let's fucking sing like a ghost dog and make fun of shit and be disgusting.
Yeah, I think we've evolved a lot. I think we both understand the opposite sex, at least in a lot of stereotypical ways, a lot better. And I think it's made the show even stronger. And I've loved doing the show with you.
I
hope it continues forever. And I've loved the friendship that we've really formed throughout these years. I feel like it's very unique and it's really strong. And that's another amazing thing that's come out of it.
It's the best part. I was saying we went on someone else's podcast. We went on Best Friends.
Yes.
With Sashir and Nicole.
Yeah.
And they interviewed us separately, then brought us back together. It was like nice to go to your house and like hang out and,
yeah,
you know, do a podcast that wasn't taped. You know, like, yeah. I don't think, for fun.
Yeah.
This, you know, the conversations we have here, there's no, you know, we talk about like, figuring our way out to say it respectfully, you know, tell stories respectfully. But this is our conversations.
Right. Yeah. This is how we speak.
Sometimes we walk in here and it's like, let's start this up because we want to like catch up. Like even Wednesday's episode, I was like, I got to hear about Halloween.
Right. Like but then it's like, let me just tell it to you for everyone with everyone else.
Because I think it's interesting.
Right.
But yeah. So yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's five to 500 more.
And that's it for this episode. We'll be back on Wednesday with your 501st episode.
That's right.
Bye. The U Up Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Candice Maniga. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico and Shannon Sassone. Social media by Candice Maniga. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back, bringing us another scandalous and sexy season. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. In season 3, longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy odds and expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as famed gossip writer Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part 1 of Bridgerton now, only on Netflix.
Betches.